In the name of Jesus, dear members of the body of Christ, and especially you candidates and candidates in training. Amen. When I think of the difference between the clergy and the laity, I often think of, quite naturally, the Old Testament, where this distinction also prevailed. In Exodus 19, for example, God chooses, by His grace, the whole nation of Israel to be His kingdom of priests. And yet, at the same time, that did not stop God from instituting the special priesthood of Aaron and his sons. In this connection, I often think of the story of Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16. In that story, there was a jealousy which had arisen amongst the ranks of the Levites, who would be somewhat like vicars, I suppose. They were jealous over the special privileges that had been accorded to the priesthood of Aaron. The Levites said, "You have gone too far with this special priesthood business." Now, why would they say that? It's interesting what they said. They said that the priesthood has no special privileges in view of the fact that there is a priesthood of all believers. They said, "You have gone too far. All the congregation is holy, and the Lord is with them too." To this, Moses said, "I'm afraid that you have gone too far." And in demonstration of this, the earth swallowed up many of the Levites alive into the ground. And meanwhile, fire broke out from the Lord and consumed 250 others. I hope they learned their lesson. In the New Testament as well, and I suppose in somewhat more joyful terms, this difference between clergy and laity is maintained. There is a difference between the royal priesthood of all believers and the public ministry as it is ordained by Christ Himself. It is borne out in the New Testament as well that even in the kingdom of God, the saying is true, that all men are created equal. It's just that some are more equal than others. There is a difference that merits a special school. There is a difference that is seen in the gospel lesson for this morning. While many or even most of the blessings that are mentioned in that lesson accrue to all Christians, all believers, there are still so many special things, many special perspectives that are preserved for the disciples soon to become the apostles. In this Last Supper discourse, and even in the lesson, which is a small portion of it, one can see the intimacy between the chief shepherd and his under-shepherds. As the Lord Jesus accomplishes his mission of salvation, the disciples are led at the same time to see their part in this very same mission. They are led to see that their work flows directly from his work, that their work as ministers of the gospel is a continuation of his work, that their work of dispensing what God has offered in Christ through his work. It is a continuation, the one of the other. The members of the apostolic ministry, as this lesson says, are specially appointed, chosen by Christ himself for his mission. As they remain grafted to the vine, they are to bear the fruit of that mission. As the under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, they are in a unique position, like no other position on earth, to follow the lead and example of the chief shepherd in that mission, ministering to the people of God and seeking the lost. They are to love as he loves in his mission. They are to follow the marching orders of this mission, just as the Savior himself was obedient to the Father's will. The under-shepherds continually find themselves asking, what would Jesus do? And when they feel burdened by their sins, they seek out the Savior's modus operandi anyway. In the forgiveness of sins, they're willing to give it a shot. The apostolic ministers are loved for the mission that Christ has given them. They are loved with the specific gospel mission in mind, the mission that the Savior has in store for them. And anything that they need for the mission is to be supplied, down to each and every individual case. Jesus says his ministers can go to the Father in heaven, and he will give them exactly what they need for the mission that they have been given. They are to love one another as men who work together in this mission of Jesus Christ. Why, they might even intend a circuit winkle from time to time. In a whole life that is devoted to the mission of Jesus Christ, they are in a unique position like no other position on earth, to know the joy of the mission, the joy of seeing one lost sinner who repents. The under-shepherd rejoices with a joy that really only a shepherd can fully appreciate. He rejoices with a shepherd's joy. He rejoices with the shepherd's joy. And working together with the chief shepherd, the apostolic ministers are in a unique position like no other position on earth to know in a specific way the Savior's friendship, a friendship that is spawned by a camaraderie in the mission of Jesus Christ. And so from a special perspective, the apostolic ministers see the big picture of the kingdom as the Savior himself has given it to him. They see the plans, the goals, and the outcome of it as the Savior himself has confided it to them. They share the same motivation of the mission, and they serve as the heralds of the chief shepherd, rather than simply gossiping among themselves as to what the shepherd might be all about. All these special joys and all these special privileges accorded to the apostolic ministry. And yet, all these blessings flow from one fountain of life, from one fountainhead that is shared by every citizen of the kingdom of God. They all flow from the very same cross, where the man, Jesus Christ, lays down his life for his friends and enemies alike. The Savior himself says it in a most interesting way. He says to his disciples, apostles, love as I loved you. And in the words, I loved you, he is pointing to that singular point in time where he pours out his life for the sins of the world. When the pressures of the ministry start to crowd in, it is in this love that is seen on the cross that the ministers of the gospel are to abide day in and day out, abiding in the love of the Savior shown at the cross pertaining to clergy and laity alike. In short, the ministers are ministered to. Or as Jesus continues to say through the Apostle Peter, tend to the flock that is your charge, not by constraint, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will obtain the unfading crown of glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.